We here at Victory Church, we hold to the doctrines that are found in the Bible. The Bible alone is divinely inspired of God. Now, we have a lot of, as human beings, we develop a lot of preconceived notions and ideas. Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We've got a lot of devices and a lot of vices and devices that we have manufactured, not only outwardly, but also inwardly, in our own minds and in our own hearts. And sinner friend, let me tell you this. If you have erected an idol in your life, in your heart, you're going to have to crush that idol before you'll ever be saved. I don't know what stands between us and God. I mean, I know it's sin, but there are many things that can become hindrances and many sins that we can develop in our life. One of the primary one and principal ones that we found in Scripture is the sin of unbelief. We believe that those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart will be saved. It's called the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. And it's important that people that claim to be Christians, that they hold to the right doctrine of salvation. The Bible says in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul was writing to the young minister and told him that he was going to be judged for the things that he preaches and proclaims. And he said this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come and judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And he told the young minister Timothy to preach the word. Folks, we need the word of God preached. It's the word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the dividings under soul and spirit. It's the word of God that gets into the soul and causes people to be convicted. He went on and said that he was to preach the word in season and out of season, reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all long-suffering. He said the time will come when people will not heed sound doctrine. Folks, we need to hold to the sound doctrine of the Scriptures. All of them, all of the principles, all of the precepts, all the kerygma of Jesus Christ, all of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the teachings of the Bible, we need to adhere to and we need to hold to. We are a church that is held together by sound doctrine. Amen? By sound doctrine. The doctrines of the church matter, but the main doctrine of the church is the doctrine of salvation. We want to see people saved. We want to see them saved by the blood of Jesus. We want to see people saved by the cross. We want to see people changed by the power of God. We want to see the blood of Jesus applied to people's accounts where their sins are taken away, where they're cleansed by the power of God. Listen, there's a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and it can cleanse you. It can wash you and make you white as snow. Even tonight, He can set you free. Amen. Just like we sang just a few moments ago, He can set you free from your sins. I know the crowd is a little low. I know that many of us are very tired. But the things concerning salvation are eternal life or eternal death. It's paramount. It's important. It's the most important thing in your life. To be set free from sin. The Bible said, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. These great doctrines, Moses was just reminiscing about the preciousness of the Word of God, the preciousness of the great doctrines of the church. And I love the doctrines of the church. I really do. I love all of them. And there's a sweetness to them. There's a blessedness to them. That brings this world to a place of where it's worthy to stand apart from the truth, apart from the righteousness of God's people, apart from these glorious truths being held to. Jesus said this world would be worthless. Worthless! Cast under the foot of men and be trod down. Listen, the reason this world is still standing is because there's still faith here. The truth is still here. The Lord is going to come in power and great glory one of these days, and He's going to destroy this world with fire. Amen. Fire and brimstone is going to rain out of heaven and destroy this world. But the thing sustaining it, the thing preserving it, because if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth what? Good for nothing. Yes. So it matters what we hold to. It matters what we do as a people and as a church. Amen. Our being here tonight is a savoring of this world. Huh? God is looking down off His throne and He sees us here holding to His truth, preaching His glorious gospel. And it is a glorious gospel. I still contend that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God and a salvation to everyone that believes. If you're here tonight and you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins, who absorbed your wrath, if you've not made Him your Redeemer and your Savior, if you've not laid yourself before Him and cried out as a sinner lost and undone in need of eternal life, you can do that tonight. Amen? Oh, yeah. See, let me get to my points, or just one or two of them. These doctrines, they're not abstract. They're very practical. They produce something in our lives. They're not just something we hold to with our minds. They are something that we experience with our hearts. I know sometimes a lot of churches have gotten into this merry-go-round of just even the ordinances of water baptism or the Lord's Supper, and it's become somewhat mundane. Folks, those doctrines are spiritual. They're powerful. Baptism is a powerful testimony that one has died to sin and been made alive unto God and comes forth to walk in newness of life. The unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. They're a powerful image and symbol of what the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, did for us on Golgotha's hill. And we celebrate and we recognize and we hold in remembrance Him dying for us. He died for us. I get stirred up. The doctrines, the glorious doctrines of God. Oh, Moses here describes them as a fresh rain that falls, drizzles upon the herbs and upon the grass, like a dew that falls, and its fragrance is sweet. Amen? Yeah, it's a blessing. The things that we hold to are a blessing to the world. They're a blessing to our children. They're a blessing to this community. And they're a blessing to our own souls. Yes, they are. A lot of people today are what we call non-denominational. You know what non-denominational means? They don't believe any doctrines. But Moses did, didn't he? And he said, those doctrines are sweet. Yeah, the truths of God that have been declared into the human race, they're a blessing to that human race. They're a blessing to us. They were a blessing to Israel. They are a blessing to the church. And he goes on and says in verse 3, because I'm going to publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto the Lord. The Lord is great. The Lord is good. The Lord is able to do great and mighty things even still. Our God is great. Amen. He is the great Almighty. He's able to deliver you, change you, make you anew. He's able to give you something tonight that no human being can give you. He can give you the blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. In this next verse, he says he's a rock. He is the rock. Listen, you need to be on a firm foundation. Your life, listen to me, your life needs to be structured on a firm, solid foundation. And there's no greater foundation that's been laid than what was laid by Christ Jesus. Jesus, in the last little illustration that he gave in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about people building their lives on unstable foundations. He talked about them building on shifting sand in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Shifting sand. And then he talked about also those that build their lives on a rock. On a rock. God is that rock. The teachings of Scripture are that rock. Amen? The Word of God is that rock. He said, he that builds his life upon my sayings, on the teachings of Jesus Christ, on the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Listen, your salvation and your belief system and who you are and how you live needs to be founded on Scripture. Scripture. We have never, ever ask people to just take what we're saying at face value. We encourage you to study the Scriptures. Amen. Be like the Berea people and search the Scriptures. Amen. Find out for yourself. But if you study the Scriptures and you read the Scriptures, you're going to come across people like Nicodemus who needed to be born again. You're going to come across a woman that was at a well of Samaria. And Jesus said, if you would have asked of me, I would give you living water. Folks, listen to me. Living water still flows to us today. And it'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life deep inside your soul. That's how you know you're saved. That's how you know you're going to heaven. When the burden of sin rolls away, that divine peace comes into your heart. Oh, and it's like a river. Amen. It's peace like a river. Just like the old prophet said, it's peace like a river. You'll find in 2 Samuel where David, oh, he cut loose and he started praising God. I believe it's in chapter 22, I'm sorry. In 2 Samuel, he got to praising the Lord. And he said, you know, the Lord is not just the rock. The Lord is my rock. Amen? My rock. My salvation. My horn of salvation. He went on and said, he's put a song in my heart because I've been delivered. Listen, you need God to be your rock. You need to trust in Him. He needs to be your shield, your Savior, your Redeemer, your good shepherd that gave His life for the sheep. You need Him to be your great shepherd and your chief shepherd, the one that's coming for us. Listen, you need Him to be your rock and your salvation. And if you're here tonight and He is not your rock, if He is not your salvation, this is a good night to be saved. Amen. When I got saved, there wasn't a lot of people at church. Sometimes that's better for you. Sometimes that's better for you. It's a little easier sometimes to make your way to an altar, to nail this thing down between you and God, to put your faith in Christ, to turn from your sins, to look to the cross. The one whom you pierced because of your sins. Jesus hung on the cross for your sins. Peter said He bore in His body our sins on the tree. Amen. Our sins, your sins, my sins. He bore them on the tree. So you killed Him. You put Him on the cross. And if you'll look to Him, He will bear your sins and enable you to experience His righteousness. The Bible says, and it's a great doctrine, the doctrine of righteousness. I love this. I'm not going to be able to get to all of these different statements that are made by the great prophet Moses. But I'm telling you, there is a way of righteousness. A way of righteousness, and that righteousness is Jesus Christ. Paul said that the Jews went about to establish their own righteousness. And it was a wrong kind of righteousness. It was one that they developed. But God sent righteousness to the world. And that righteousness of God is Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You need the imputed. Everybody say imputed. Yeah? Imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now look, when you call on the Lord and you repent of your sins and you put faith in Jesus Christ and you surrender to Him, there's something that takes place deep inside of you that only you and God know about, only you and God really understand how that's going on or know about what's going on because it's so personal, it's spiritual, amen? It happens deep inside your soul. But in the end, you know that your sins have been taken away. And they've been born by the Savior. And there's a new life in you. There's the righteousness of Jesus in you. And you didn't deserve that. You know, it was all of grace. Paul said, when he was in the book of Romans declaring the great righteousness of God by faith. Amen. The righteousness of God by faith. And when that's imputed to you, your sins are rolled on the Savior. His righteousness is laid to your account. You'll be justified before a holy God. Justified before a holy God. That's the great doctrine that's been preached this week. That's the great doctrine that we've been preached this week. A doctrine that can change your life. That Christ is the rock. That He will be your fortress. He will be your high tower. He will be your redeemer. He'll be your shepherd. He'll be your savior. He will be your Lord. He'll be your King of kings and Lord of lords. God is the rock. I contend He is the only rock. There's no... Amen. He is the only rock. And His work is perfect. His work is perfect. Now, the Apostle Peter, in his letter, began talking about this great work within us. And he talked about how that we were begotten unto a lively hope. We were born, spiritually born, unto a lively hope. But he said it didn't happen by corruptible things. It happened by the incorruptible Word of God, amen, which liveth and abideth forever. This perfect work that has to take place in your soul, this way of righteousness that comes from the God of truth, who is holy, without iniquity, who is just, and who is right. Our God is right. He is righteous, He is just, and He is good. His ways are holy, and His work is perfect. I will publish the name of the Lord. I will ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Some of you may have made some kind of profession of faith. You may have went forward and pledged allegiance to Jesus. I'm telling you, that's not good enough. There needs to be a personal awareness of what Moses was talking about, where the doctrines of Scripture are personal and practical to you. They're experimental to you. You've experienced them. You know them to be right. You know them to be true. You need to know for yourself that you're on the rock of ages. I mean that your life is on the truth of God. The Bible says that God is true. He went on, Paul did, and said, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible declares that over and over again. If man can come along and convince you of something, another man can come along and convince you of something else. That's why the great doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of soteriology, must always rest upon God doing the work. Jonah had it right. Salvation is of the Lord. Yeah, it's of the Lord. And you can know this great salvation, but you've got to go to the Lord to get it. There are many here, and we could all testify that these things are so. They happened in our own life. It wasn't that my parents believed these things that made me to believe these things. It was a work of the Holy Spirit in my heart that brought me to believe these things. Amen? Yeah. These doctrines are spiritual. That fresh dew, that light rain that Moses was talking about, Moses did not just have some kind of intellectual interaction with God. He had an experience with God, a spiritual, divine experience with God that assured him of these things. And you need to have the same. We could go to his psalm, and 90th psalm, and prove that. But I'm going to close. Appreciate you listening to me. I believe it's your night. You might say, well, the church looks a little, weary. That's not about the church. The only thing that stands between you and salvation is your own sin of unbelief. That's one of our articles of faith too. Okay? You getting right with God? I don't think the church was in too good a shape when I got saved. Actually, I found out later they weren't. I don't know what kind of fussing and shooting they had going on. But, man, I wanted deliverance. Like the preacher preached the other night. And I set my heart in search of it. And I came on my own to Christ. And when I got to the cross, and I looked at Him hanging there for me, my sin so great and so heavy upon my soul, I knew I deserved to go to hell. I deserved eternal ruins because of my transgressions. I felt it. I had a felt need, man. I needed Christ. I couldn't go another day or two without Christ. I needed Him tonight. And if you need Christ tonight, we're going to sing a song. You might say, well, I've never gone forward before. Well, there's a first time for everything. Amen? This may be your first time to seek after the Lord. Just come. Don't come to the bench. Come to Christ. Amen? Don't bow to just be bowing. Bow surrendering to Christ. Turning from sin. Putting all of your trust and all of your faith in what He did at Calvary's cross. That He went there, He bled, and He died for you. Sister Kathy used to sing that song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And I believe that. As He was hanging there, with His hands pierced and and nails in His feet, as He hung there in agony, suffering, the wrath of God being poured out upon Him. See, there's a lot of spiritual stuff that was going on at the cross. We don't know this, that for 3 hours there was darkness over the face of the earth. And He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why He was forsaken on the cross. It's because God cannot look upon sin, and His sin, our sins were laid upon Him. Bible says He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, your sins hung Jesus on the cross so that you could come to Him in faith, and He could bear them and bury them and remove them as far as the east is from the west. Whoa, you could leave here tonight knowing that your sins have been cast in the sea of forgetfulness, right? Never to be remembered again. Oh, to be set free, yes. So we're going to sing a song. Invite you to come. Put your faith in Him. Let's sing. Him who died for you. Make this doctrine of salvation is known to us because we experience it. Amen? Are you with me? We're not trying to get you to believe some creed, some profession of the church, or some book that we have, that we've studied, that we adhere to. This isn't a cult. This is the church of the true living God. And we preach the Word. And we believe that the Word of God will affect you, that it will change you, it'll get in your heart. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, as the preacher said the other night. We believe that the same God that spoke light in the beginning will speak light in your soul. But you've got to come to Him. Is there someone tonight who wants to come calling on the Lord? Let us sing.
I don't like trying to tell somebody else's testimony, but if you get a chance, you can go online and read the testimony of Dr. B.H. Carroll. He was the president of Southwestern Theological Seminary. He was the one who started it, actually, back in the 1800s. He had a brilliant mind, and he had ventured off into agnosticism and atheist, but he stumbled into a Methodist revival meeting. And that old preacher got out in the aisle,
and challenged everybody to test it for themselves. You test it for yourself.
And that got a hold of him that night. All of his beliefs, all of his ideas, all of the demonic forces that had been dealing with his mind and his heart, it got a hold of him. And he tested it and tried to go to Christ, or started toward Christ for himself. And the man got changed. Got changed. I'm just telling you that when you're really on the rock, you're not on a belief system of churches, you're on the doctrines of the truth. Because you've experienced them. The doctrines of truth that you have experienced in your own heart and life. You know it because it's real right here. Amen? You know it right here. Okay? You know it's right. And we want you to have that. There's a lot of persuasive people that have adopted the doctrines of devils. That's what the scriptures say. They're very persuasive. They subvert people over to these beliefs. We're warned of them in scripture. But if you go directly to God for yourself, it makes a difference. It makes the greatest difference possible. Because then you know. And you're not founded upon some rock somebody's chiseled out somewhere, but you're founded on the rock, God Himself. I want us to sing another verse of some song. This altar is still open. I'd like to pray with you. Some of you have not prayed for yourself up here, and I'd really like to pray with you. It's a good possibility this revival will come to an end tonight. But I have great expectations. The doctrines of the church are still sweet, aren't they? The way of salvation is good. And so I want to pray with you, but I want you to be willing to pray for yourself.